This podcast examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and just generally the wisdom of others. I believe in the importance of showing gratitude, and the greatest way for me to do that is to share the tools, tips, and teachings of others that I've found immensely beneficial, which is why I started this podcast. My intention is to provide tools, ideas, and contemplations to benefit anyone who wants to listen, because life is workable and totally awesome. For my regular listeners, you'll know that I did a podcast a few weeks ago on love, and given the recent terrorist attacks in Beirut and Paris, I felt it would be fitting to expand on that by doing this week's podcast on the subject of compassion. I want to start this one with a few questions that I've contemplated with regards to both love and compassion, and how they kind of connect with each other. So the questions that I've asked, this is quite recently actually that I came up with these, are this: can you have compassion for someone without loving them? And possibly more controversial, can you love someone and not have compassion for them? Both are interesting questions to consider, and I do love a good juicy question because questions like this invite me to challenge what I think I know. So if we're going to examine these questions, as usual, it's really important that we're coming from the same working definition of both words, love and compassion. In the episode that I did called Love, I define love in two ways, as an emotion and as a virtue. And then that whole talk is based, that whole podcast is based on talking about it as a virtue, as in unconditional love. So love in the context of these two questions is the care that we have for another human being, no matter what. But what about compassion? According to the dictionary, compassion is defined as sympathetic pity or concern for the misfortunes and suffering of others. Personally, this definition does not in any way match how I define compassion as a Buddhist, based on Buddhist teachings and how I've come to understand it. Primarily because compassion is taught as an exchange of self and others. Compassion is empathy. Not sympathy, it's the ability to put yourself in another person's shoes, to see our shared humanity, and to show up for another person because of that. Compassion is not up on a pedestal, looking down, or feeling sorry for, and I've always considered sympathy as feeling sorry for. If you've ever been on the receiving end of pity, you know that it's not very comfortable. And in fact, it's not very compassionate, actually. Compassion is much bigger. It's our ability to see the fullness of a human being and their suffering, and our ability to relate to that, regardless of how our personal circumstances might be different. So, definitions out of the way, although I invite you to contemplate how you define compassion and love and what they both look like, but let's revisit my questions. But I'm going to start with the second one that I asked, because I think that it expands further on the definition of genuine unconditional love. Can you love someone but not have compassion for them? Can we care for a person but have an inability to empathize with their situation? So this is where things get quite fuzzy for me in contemplating this, because while compassion and love are different, they are intertwined. I think the difference between love and compassion is found in relationship. We can cultivate compassion for anyone, but love seems to be more about connecting more intimately. Love comes from a place of being mutual. We have love for people we know, for example, and love potentially is a heading under which compassion falls. Like, compassion is part of loving someone, of that really genuine, unconditional love that we can have for someone. And it's impossible to not have compassion for someone that we love. But I don't know that this is necessarily so if we're approaching love from a place of expectations. So in that episode that I did on love, I talked about genuine love versus love as an expression of preferences, like I love sushi, for example. So in thinking about it this way, perhaps the quality that tips love from preferential and based on expectations is compassion. It's when it's compassionate. So rather than calling it genuine love, I could refer to it as compassionate love. I don't know. It's worth thinking. But let's move on to the first question that I asked. Can you have compassion for someone without loving them? Can you have empathy, understanding for the human condition without love? Well, I feel like the answer is an obvious yes, because I can feel compassion towards a homeless person, for example, or for the refugees that I see on the news every day, or for the people in Beirut and Paris. And I don't even know these people. So no, I don't love them. But then love and compassion are intertwined. Nothing is mutually exclusive. As Elizabeth Mattis Namgal so often says, everything leans. If love is our ability to care for another human, and compassion is our ability to relate to the human condition, can it not also be considered that by having compassion, we are in fact tapping into a sort of universal experience of love? I really do love when one juicy question leads to another even juicier question, which kind of brings me back again to the definition of both. When we examine the application, it's possible to cultivate compassion for someone we don't know, but because love is generally thought to be as something that's mutual, it's sort of like we have love when we are loved and vice versa. So in the examples that I provided of being able to have compassion, right, for refugees, for homeless people, for people who are experiencing mass trauma, there's a sense of love. There's a sense of love for a fellow human being going through extreme suffering, like a natural disaster, or fleeing a war-torn country. In which case, compassion's the heading, and love is part of compassion. I think most people would agree that it's pretty easy to cultivate compassion for people in those situations. And certainly there are those who have no empathy for the refugees, or even sympathy for them, but those people are a rarity, or at least from what I've seen and how quickly such people are condemned for their attitude, it really implies to me that they're a rarity. Most of us can look at what's going on around the world and we do feel compassion, that sort of heartbreak, that feeling of longing to be able to do something but appreciating that it's complicated and wanting to show up for people and that whole care. There's a lot going on there. But what about cultivating compassion for someone we do have a personal connection with? You look at it on the more one-to-one, I mean, I think we could argue you can cultivate compassion, but is it genuinely compassion when those people are still really far removed? So if we look at someone that we have a personal relationship with, and someone who has in some way hurt us, right? Maybe we've had some blatant injury caused in our lives by this person that other people would back us up on, be like, yeah, what they did was wrong. There's something about the anonymity of a group of people that can make it seem like it's easy to open our hearts to perfect strangers, but what about when it's not on a television screen or a news feed that we're reading every day? What if it's actually that person who's right in front of us? And our ego is all wrapped up in it, and the validation, and we once loved our ex, for example, any of the former partners we've had in our lives, we once loved them. And we may not have love for them now, But do we have compassion for them? Especially if they acted in a way that, like I said, you know, most people, they'll back us up that their behavior was not okay. Can we have compassion for someone who cheated on us, who lied to us about something really important like finances? Can we have compassion for a former partner who was abusive? Again, my experience is a resounding yes. In fact, I would say compassion is necessary in such situations because the alternative is to become bitter and possibly even filled with hatred, which benefits no one. And in the case of the anonymous, if we choose not to cultivate compassion, we are, in effect, choosing to dehumanize our fellow human. We begin to look at things in black and white, dualistic, good versus evil, that kind of thing, instead of seeing the fullness, instead of being able to acknowledge that no one does anything because they want to feel worse. We retreat into not like them, and write off entire groups of people as somehow defective or flawed. So why is this important? Why did I want to do an episode on compassion? And why am I asking these questions? Like love, I have heard compassion dismissed as soft or overly sentimental or not helpful or effective. Like compassion has no place in certain situations. That compassion is actually incredibly unhelpful if you want to get things done. For example, in a deeply problematic political situation, it's argued that compassion is the last thing that we need. I've heard this on the radio, I've heard this many times. But compassion is not sympathy. And it is not soft at all. It's not condoning anything. And it's not rolling over and accepting. Compassion can be pointed and intense. Sometimes the most compassionate thing that we could do would be to cut someone out of our life completely because of the harm that they are causing. Compassion is not blind and it's not simplistic. It allows us to see the fullness of a situation and to respond wisely. In the case of a terrorist attack, we can easily resort to seeing the perpetrators as evil, twisted, other. Compassion takes bravery because compassion means accepting that we are no different from people who can carry out such violence. It's acknowledging shared humanity, bearing witness to it, and committing to work with our own minds and actions to be of benefit. If compassion has an opposite, that opposite is apathy. A lack of compassion breeds contempt, complacency, and indifference. Not only does not having compassion harden us to the suffering of others, it hardens us to our own suffering. Basically, a lack of compassion leads to fundamentalism and extremism. So if we really do want to be of benefit, we need to recognize that it's a lack of compassion that can lead to someone carrying out an act of terror. And no, we aren't any different than any other human being when it comes to emotions and self-awareness and our ability to work with one and cultivate the other. So if we don't want to go down the exact same slippery slope of fundamentalism and righteous indignation that leads to terrorism, we'd best cultivate the compassion that they hadn't. Compassion is the antidote to dehumanizing the people that we share the planet with. Compassion is an incredible thing to have. When we cultivate compassion, everything becomes much more workable. It allows us to forgive. It enables us to act skillfully, with kindness, from a place of understanding. It's one of the most valuable things that we can have in our toolkit. And if you don't believe me, well, it's a question that's worth asking for the rest of your life. Does compassion ever not apply? Can you ever find a situation where compassion wouldn't help, really? Is there any situation that wouldn't be improved by a little kindness, empathy, care, understanding, and humanity? Personally, I've yet to find one.
Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. My content will always be free, but if you'd like to help make it even better, you can become a patron by clicking the green button at the top of the page. I'm always looking for content suggestions and people to interview. If you've got any ideas or would like to contribute, you can get in touch through my website, www.faunawolfcreations.com. That's faunawolfcreations.com. Thank you to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world. The music used in this podcast is from his Creative Commons Volume 5 album, available on www.dexterbritton.co.uk.